Love is more powerful than sin. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday, TGIF, thank God it's Friday, and you know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Have you done it yet? Do you think you have, but you're not quite sure? You want to know what it takes? It takes really believing that Jesus is the Son, unique Son of the living God, that He saved you by dying and rising from the dead, saved you from your sins, and then it takes, as frail human person that you are, it takes you every day making a heroic effort, sometimes a heroic effort to follow Jesus' teaching without compromising yourself, compromising Jesus' teaching. If you do that, you'll be blessed. Will you fall? Yeah, we do fall. We do. We are sinners. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that doesn't mean that we won't get the grace to get up, dust herself off, and go on again. Remember, it's not the person who falls who is the loser, it's the person who refuses to get up. Which leads me into today's scripture quote that I want to share with you. It's from Luke chapter 7, verse 47. But first, let me set the scene. This is where Jesus comes to enjoy the hospitality of one of the Pharisees, leaders of the Jews. But we find out that, as a matter of fact, this person is not out to really show Jesus any hospitality. He's out to trick Jesus. Well, Jesus is there only for a short period of time when a woman comes in who's known to be a sinner in the town. And she washes Jesus' feet with her tears and dries them with her hair. And the host is just furious that she's in his house. And he is really upset that Jesus would let her touch him. And Jesus tells him this. Here's today's quote. I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. I began today's program by saying, love is more powerful than sin. Okay? This lady was a sinner. She was. No denying it. But she comes in and performs a tremendous act of love for Jesus. And in doing that, her sins are forgiven. Charity covers a multitude of sins. It really does. Jesus says that in one way or another, and so do the other scripture writers. St. Peter says that. Charity covers a multitude of sins. So this lady took a great risk. They could have thrown her out. They could have laughed at her and ridiculed her. Jesus says, no matter how many sins she committed, she never shut her heart down completely to what it means to love. And out of that loving act that she performed for Jesus, all those sins were forgiven. So, yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are. Now, why do we sin? Well, we do this little mental gymnastic, you see. We don't sin because we think it's bad for us. We sin because we think it's good for us. And then 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours later, we go, I can't believe I did that. That was crazy. That's not me. No, well, that's not completely you, but you're capable of sin. You know, it's the effect of original sin. David says in Psalm 51, God, go easy on me. In guilt I was born, in sin my mother conceived me. In other words, God, I came into this world with 2 strikes against me. So we sin primarily because we think whatever we say or do that is sinful will be to our advantage, to our benefit. And of course we find out that that's a lie. Satan's a lie. He's a father of lies, Jesus said. Other reasons why we sin? Well, we've been scandalized by our family or close friends. Their behavior was sinful, but we didn't know any better because we were young and impressionable. And then we're caught up in some pattern of sin. But remember what Paul says in chapter 5 of Romans. Where sin abounds, grace more abounds. Love is more powerful than sin. I'll say it often during the program today. When I was growing up, my father used to say, oh, he said it so many times, you get old too soon and smart too late. So we come to our senses. That's what that woman did when she came to wash the feet of Jesus in today's gospel passage. That's what the son of the prodigal, the prodigal son of the loving father did. Literally says in the story, coming to his senses, he says to himself, how many hired hands in my father's house have more than enough to eat, and here I am starving. I'm going to break away and I'm going to return to my father. So all of us need to come to our senses. We need to realize that there is nothing that can satisfy us if it doesn't satisfy God. Sin may bring about momentary pleasure. It will not bring about lasting peace or lasting joy. No, it won't. So we need to come to our senses and realize that nothing can satisfy us that doesn't satisfy God. We need, if we're going to really get serious about our Christian walk, about growing in holiness, we need to desire to make changes in our life. Yeah. We need to move closer to God and further away from our sinful habits. We need to make changes so that we avoid temptation. So that we really, as a matter of fact, walk the walk and not just talk the talk. We need to change. Now, key to a new beginning is always love. Because love is more powerful than sin. And to the extent that we believe that we're loved, no matter how much we have sinned in the past, if we accept on this Friday, Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior, and we invite Him into our hearts, and we say, Lord, I know it's impossible for me to do this by myself, but nothing is impossible with You. If we cry out to the living God, who hears all of our prayers, whose definition is God is love, St. John says, and we say, dear love, dear God of love, help me to be a loving man or woman. You don't think He doesn't want to answer that prayer? You don't think God will not give us amazing grace? Sure He will. Sure He will. Is it risky? Always handing over our life to God is risky. Is there a payoff if we do? Beyond your wildest dreams. To have the self-control, to have the peace, to have the joy, to have the right mind, the right disposition, the right goals. That flows from this decision to accept Jesus. It flows when we let go of our sinfulness and serve God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. When we see Jesus dwelling in other people, even the ones that we find it difficult to communicate with, difficult to have anything to do with them. I challenge you today. It's the end of the week. I challenge you to allow God to fill up the innermost recesses of your heart with a love that is mind-boggling. He wants us to take the risk, to let go of our sinful patterns, and to be loved. You know, I think we become love. We become loving men and women. Then we'll set the world on fire. Then this world of ours will be different. It'll be a lot different. Because we can make a difference. Love can make a difference. In the end, there are three things at last, St. Paul says, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It will last. We'll keep it going from generation to generation. Please don't accuse me right now of just saying pious things. I believe this with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. When I started the hospital for the very, very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, after only visiting there for a couple of days, I made that decision to have a hospital for the poor and sick down there. It was my attempt to love my brothers and sisters of another language, of another race, of another culture. No, I am not just mouthing pious platitudes. I have put my life, my time, my energy, my financial resources where my mouth is. Because the more you let God operate in your life, the more you're filled with love. It happens. because God is love. You know who I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for teachers. Teachers, really, they have a challenging occupation. They have a rewarding occupation. To make a difference in the child's life will affect the world for generations to come. But they have many challenges. And the longer they're teachers, the temptation will be there to not keep growing in the subject, to just pull out their notes, it's the same thing every year. That'll quickly make them lose their enthusiasm for life. So I ask you, if you would, to please pray for teachers today. The ones you've known, the ones that you may someday meet. Today's food for thought, it comes from a woman named Jennifer Anston. She writes, "Friends are the family we choose." And that's true. You can't pick your family, but you can pick your friends. And may I suggest, pick your friends wisely. Very, very wisely. They reflect who you are. Okay? Now, a small attempt to make you smile or laugh, okay? It's a true story that I got from Reader's Digest. There was this customer who only wanted half a head of lettuce and insisted the stock boy check with the manager before denying his request. The boy approached his boss. "Some moron wants to buy half of a head of lettuce," he said. Just then he saw that the customer was standing right behind him. "And this gentleman," he added quickly, "has kindly offered to buy the other half." Later the manager said, "That was some pretty quick thinking. Tell me, where are you from, son?" "Canada, sir," the boy replied. "Really? And why did you leave?" "Because there's nobody up there but tramps and hockey players." "I see," said the manager. "You know, my wife is from Canada." "Really?" said the boy. "What hockey team did she play for?" He really is quick on his feet. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. Just know that you listen to the program, especially if you find it helpful. Drop me a note, or you can send me an email. You can let me know if you have any special prayer intentions that you want me to join you in praying about, and I faithfully will do that. You can let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. It tells you where I'm preaching. It's filled with a lot of information, humor, inspiration. You can write me a check for my hospital. I don't care how much it is for. Just could you write me a check to keep my hospital open in Oaxaca, Mexico? Make the check out to T, as in Thomas, T-A-S-H. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you like to use the Internet, why not visit my website? I think you'll enjoy my website. The name of the website is very simple. Father Scott. Spell out Father, though. FatherScott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.